The phone rang at 6 the next morning. Deborah had been sleeping for less than 3 hours, and the press of her children made her slow to react. Then she remembered what had happened, and her stomach clenched. Fearing Calvin McKenna had taken a turn for the worse, she bolted up and grabbed the phone. "Hello?"
"It's me," said her sister. "Mac Tully was just in here. He said you hit someone last night."
"Oh, Jill." Relieved, Deborah let out a breath. She and her sister were close, though very different. Jill was 34 to Deborah's 38, blonde to her brunette, 5'2 to Deborah's 5'6, and the maverick of the family. Despite two long-term relationships, she hadn't married, and while Deborah had followed their father into medicine, Jill flat-out refused to take any science courses. After 1 year as a baker's apprentice in New Jersey, then a second year in New York, and 4 more as a dessert chef on the West Coast, she had come back to Leyland to open her own bakery. In the 10 years since her return, she had expanded 3 times, all to her father's chagrin. Michael still prayed she would wake up one day, go back to school, and do something real with her life. Deborah had always loved her little sister, even more in the 3 years since their mother had died. Just hearing her voice was a comfort.
"It was a nightmare, Jill," she murmured tiredly. "He came out of nowhere."
"The history teacher, huh? Is he badly hurt?" "He was operated on last night, likely to put a pin in his hip. Marty Stevens says the guy is odd, a loner, not real friendly."
"Serious is the word, I think. He doesn't smile much."
"Did Marty say anything else?" "No, but Shelley Wyeth did. She said his wife is weird, too. They don't mix much with the neighbors."
There was a brief pause.
"Wow. You actually ran someone down. I didn't think you had it in you."
Deborah was a minute reacting.
"Excuse me? Have you ever been in an accident before?"
"No."
"The rest of us have."
"Jill."
"It's okay, Deborah. This makes you human. I love you all the more for it."
"Jill," Deborah protested. But Dylan was awake and reaching for his glasses. "My boy needs an explanation. I'll see you as soon as I drop off the kids."
"You're not driving the BMW, are you?" Jill asked. She shared Deborah's disdain for the car.
"I have no choice."
"You do. I'll be there at 7:30. Once you get to Dad's, you can use his car. I don't envy you having to tell him about the accident."
"He won't be happy. He likes perfect records."
Deborah didn't need the reminder.
"Gotta go, Jill. 7:30. Thanks."
She hung up the phone and looked down at Dylan. At 10, he was more of an introvert than his sister had been at that age. He was also more sensitive, a character trait exacerbated by both the divorce and his vision.
"You hit someone?" he asked now.
"It was on the rim road, very dark, very wet."
"Was he splattered all over the road?" the boy asked with a hard blink.
"Jerk," Grace mumbled from behind Deborah.
"He was not splattered anywhere," Deborah scolded. "We weren't going fast enough to do serious harm." Dylan rubbed one of his eyes.
"Have you ever hit anyone before?"
"Absolutely not."
"Has Dad?"
"Not that I know of."
"I'm going to call him and tell him."
"Not now, please," Deborah said. "You'll be sleeping, and anyway, you need to get dressed. Aunt Jill is coming for us."
There was another hard blink.
"Why?"
"Because the police have my car."
"Why?"
"They have to make sure it's in good working order."
"Is there blood on the front?"
"No. Get up, Dylan," Deborah said and gave him a gentle push.
He got out of bed.
"Who'd you hit?"
"No one you know," Deborah said and pointed toward the door.
He had barely left when Grace was hovering at her shoulder.
"But he's someone I know," she whispered. "And someone all my friends know. Mom, I need to stay home."
Deborah faced her. "If you stay home, you'll have to retake the test and miss track practice, which isn't a great idea with a meet on Saturday." Grace looked horrified.
"I can't run after what happened."
Deborah knew how she felt. She had a similar urge, but it would only make things worse.
"I have to work, Grace, and you need to run.
You can really work today?"
"I have to. People depend on me." "Same with you. You're the team's best hope for winning the meet.
Besides, if you're afraid of people talking, the best thing is to behave as you always do. I'll flunk the bio test if I take it today.
You won't flunk the test. You're acing bio.
How can I take a test when I barely slept?
You know the material. Besides, once you're in college, you'll be taking tests on next to no sleep all the time. Think of this as practice. It'll build character.
Yeah, well, if character's the thing, shouldn't I go with you to file the police report?
Deborah felt a flash of pride, followed by a quick pang of conscience. Both turned to fear when she thought of the possible fallout if she let Grace take the blame. Very slowly, she shook her head, then held her daughter's gaze for a moment before drawing her out of bed.